The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Miss Michelle Nicola Cockburn, welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. And this will be your first time?
Yes, it is.
Yes?
Yes.
And you're liking it so far?
It's great, actually.
Not too nervous or anything?
Not at all.
Good.
Happy to share.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been writing. Tell us where you started.
Oh, it started from since 2005, actually. My first book, Living Your Purposeful Life, existed since 2016, just on the shelf, waiting for that moment and that push to say, this is the time to advertise and also to publish the book. And it was on that journey of going through my divorce in 2005 and that struggle of bringing up my daughters at that point in time, and the vision that I had and the things that I did to refocus and relearn and be able to move forward was the impetus behind the book. Because I used those tools within a year and a half to be able to bounce back.
Okay.
And to be able to do the things that I needed to do for my daughters and for myself. So that's where Living a Purposeful Life came about, because I said, you know, I need to share. Many a times we don't share our experiences. We don't share what is happening. We are so afraid or get tabooed, you know, what people will say. But after a while, is, you know, you realize there are a lot of things going on in the world that people need to know. How did you cope? How do you manage?
Yeah.
You know? And that's where this book was born.
And from doing this book, did you find yourself amongst people who had similar experiences to, I guess, commiserate with?
Yes.
What was that journey like?
Well, funny enough that you asked that question, because in my journey, there were a lot of times I had people coming to me and asking me about how to deal with certain situations. And I found myself sharing those same experiences that I would have gone through. And it made it easier for them to cope during their challenges.
Right.
And of course, I had like-minded friends from my AFET group and Child Welfare League, which I'm a member of, that I was able to bounce things off of. And of course, parents, that supportive system, you know. So it was in that, in those moments that I was able to share and realize, listen, I'm helping people. I'm sharing my experiences and it works. And then I started getting more and more people coming to me now for advice on how to do certain things. So therein lies, I said, this is my gift. This is what I have to do. I need to share.
And that's one of the things that you said briefly off air, that many of us are not even aware of what drives us or what our purpose is. How do you define that in your mind? What are the steps that you take?
The thing about it is that most of the time we know, but we just don't know how to go about it. And there is this annoying noise in the back of your mind that tells you, this is what I'm supposed to do. In my instance, I knew that I had to, my thing was speaking to people. My thing was sharing knowledge. My thing was about giving back. And it kept this annoying feeling on the inside that you can do more. And you keep feeling that way. And I said to myself, okay, let me explore this. What am I feeling? So finding that quiet time to really go deep inside and decide, okay, listen, I'm hearing that I need to do this. What are the steps to take? How am I going to go forward? And I started journalizing. I started writing down, what are the steps that I need to take? Am I to research this gift of speaking? What knowledge do I need to research on? What do courses do I need to do to be able to explore and to be able to share more? And that's where I started. So journalizing was the key. Because once things are in black and white, it's easy for you to say, okay, these are the steps and this is where I have planned my next goal. But if you have it all in your head, it's so confusing.
I remember looking or reading about Les Brown. Now, Les Brown is the, if you're in radio and you don't know about Les Brown, then you're really not into radio.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and he had many points in his journey, and he spoke about journaling, and actually writing it down gives the mind something to look at. It commits when you see it,
focus on
black and white on paper.
That's right.
However, one of the things he also said, it's very important what you write down, because you internalize as well.
Yes.
How do you structure that narrative for yourself within, so that what comes out is purposefully as you write in your book?
So when you're writing on your journal, you have to be very specific. It's like setting goals, but it's a different kind of goal because of what you feel and what your gift is. So for me, one of the things I started doing is, how do I share? The first thing I wrote was, how do I share this knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
What are the steps? Is it that, and I started to just jot down bullet points. So you're not really going into details, because you're going to explore these bullet points at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I started jotting down bullet points. Am I going to have a talk show, a podcast? And I just started listing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I went down the list, then I went back to the top and I said, okay, let's explore the first one. Mm-hmm. How do I break this goal down?
Mm-hmm.
What are the steps that I'm going to take with this particular goal? So writing the book was one, right? Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'm going to write the book. How am I going to lay it out?
Mm-hmm.
What are the steps that I used at that point in time that helped me accomplish this goal in a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how you actually journalize, because now you have to break it down very simple by putting your key points,
mm-hmm.
and then going back to each point now and expanding on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to do, actually.
The thing is, with all of the different distractions that are in the world, you know, it's very easy to go off track.
Yes, it is.
How do you refocus yourself?
The first thing I do is I find quiet time. So I either take my quiet time very late in the night, or I take it first thing in the morning. It all depends on what happens the day before, the day is going to happen the day after. But I love that quiet hour time where I sit and I have my coffee.
You see? There you go. You know,
the coffee.
It's get pong for coffee. And why not tea? Mm-hmm. Why not, you know, coffee? So, but I'm glad that there's something about coffee that people like.
Yes, something about the coffee that wakes you up in the morning and just keeps you going.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I don't do in the morning when I take that quiet time is use my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, as soon as they get up,
mm-hmm.
they grab for their cell phone and they check in the news and all this negative energy that starts to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at the newspaper and no. That hour or 15 or 20 minutes that you're taking for yourself, mm-hmm. is specifically to just go within,
mm-hmm.
and know how you're going to plan your day. What is the next step? Who are you going to touch today? How are you going to go about your day? Who are you going to make smile today? You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And from that little experience of going through that 20 minutes allows you to reshape how your day is going to be,
mm-hmm.
and allows you to plan. Because if you know that, for instance, you're going to write a book, it gives you that quiet time, that 20 minutes, to at least start to work on some aspect of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Some thought comes to mind. So another thing that I do as well is, in that period of time on my website, I blog. So once I start my morning, usually I get a word. As they say, I got a word, and then I start to break down this word.
Mm-hmm.
What is the message am I to put forward here today?
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, I would then write my article.
Yeah.
And have it uploaded on my website.
The thing is, some people would say, well, you could do all of that on your phone. They have the app for this and the app for that, you know, and utilize the technology.
Correct.
That is there.
But there's a lot of distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the WhatsApp coming in, you might get a group sending you something, distracting you on your phone,
mm-hmm.
from actually focusing on where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
So not being on the phone is key.
Yeah. Or at least prioritizing a time to be on the phone.
Correct.
And the amount of time.
And the
as
amount
well.
Of time that yeah. you're spending on the phone.
It takes a lot of discipline from what I'm hearing
it is.
From you.
It is.
Yeah.
And it comes from being a single parent, struggling to make ends meet. And, you know, at that point in time, I didn't know what was my next step.
Mm-hmm.
I divorced in 2005. And in 2006, my daughter got accepted at St. George's University. And I was like, hello, what next?
Girl.
And I'm like, how are you going to manage that at this point in time in a year?
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to say, Lord, you are going to help me through this because I don't know how. So it's a matter of looking at what is in front of you and saying, how can I control this?
Yeah.
Can I control it? And if I can't control it, then I leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can control it, what are the steps that I'm going to take?
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of discipline. Some people don't have that discipline. But that's where my personal session comes in, because I help individuals' personal growth,
mm-hmm.
help them to be able to define where they are going, and help them to grow
mm-hmm.
through their journey of life. Because we are so confused. We know, you know, but we're not taking the time to really listen.
Yeah, and actually break through that barrier of, I may not know, I think I know, but I may not know. And until I know, then I realize that I didn't know.
Correct.
Something like that.
Something like
yeah?
that.
It's 10 minutes after 10 o'clock, going to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to find out how your daughter...
Yes.
How was it for her during that journey and some of the things that you've imparted on her?
My two daughters.
Your two daughters. And how do they apply it to their life as well? We'll be right back.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.
And if you're joining us here inside the Human Impact, let me, you know, just catch you up on the time as we've spent it already. In studio with me is Michelle Nicola Cockburn, author of Living a Purposeful Life. And thus far, within the last 15 minutes, we've covered so many different things. Living your purposeful life, how you manage to understand what your purpose is, and then the steps that you took to materialize that purpose. And just before the break, I asked the question, you have two daughters.
Yes, I do.
And those lessons, how has it impacted on them? And how your journey brings out the best in them? How do they interact with you?
Great question. At the beginning, it was tough because going through the divorce, I was married for 18 years. So after 18 years and now your parents are separating,
mm-hmm.
both into high school. So I now have my first daughter, Dr. Nicola Lala. She is 38. Mm-hmm. And my second daughter is Rishalan Lala. She is a clinical psychologist. And it was challenging to push them through, to keep focus, because at the end of the day, there were many days that I would say to myself, what are the lessons that I'm going to put forward for them to take with them on this journey?
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that they first have to be very independent, and also being able to work through situations and not give in.
Mm-hmm.
So I myself had to be the role model of showing them determination.
Mm-hmm.
I recall even in 2014, I graduated with my bachelor's in clinical behavioral science. My daughter told me, she said, Mommy, go back to school. She said, go back to school. I'm with you. I'm doing exams. You do exams too. And we were like, just, okay, great. Let's go together.
Mm-hmm.
So we both graduated together, mm-hmm. you know. But it was a journey in trying to keep them very focused, because Nicola went off in 2006 to St. George's University at a time when it was only a year after divorce. So she still mm-hmm. had a lot she was dealing with. So I found myself having those long phone calls.
Yeah.
And spending the time with her through that journey. And the same was for Rachel. We had to keep her, at least she was a little more challenging as a younger one.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to always be there. You had to make the time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I believe of being honest.
Yeah.
Sometimes we tend to feel that they don't know.
They observe everything.
They observe everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't try to fool them.
And if you think that they missed it, no, they didn't.
Yeah. But you break it down to their level so that they understand what you are doing, why you did what you did, mm-hmm. and where your focus is. Always with a loving touch.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to marry being a father and a mother. And I found myself, okay, what do I want to impart besides knowledge and skill? I looked at the soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
How I wanted them to be able to manage to have their own families and to be able to not make the mistakes that I made.
Mm-hmm.
So I started moving with them in a way where every month I would have them dress up. It's your birthday. I make them dress up so they know what it is to go out for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I spend that quality time and then also shared my experiences. So, you know, I would have gone through this as a child and I don't want you to go through it, but this is what you will have to do. Mm-hmm. Of course, you get rebellion.
Yeah.
Yes, teenagers you're dealing with. But as they say, take a deep breath and remember your time.
Yeah.
When you had your teenage years and how rebellious you were,
mm-hmm.
you know? So my main thing was to ensure that I had sound citizens of Trinidad and Tobago and being able to cope any part of the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I focused every energy that I had into making sure that they were well taken care of, they got the knowledge and experience they wanted, and they qualified.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the journey went.
I like the fact that you mentioned being honest with them. Because
yes.
Trini culture, whether we like to admit it or not, we tend to not talk about things.
Yes.
You know, it might be too taboo. Or if it is that you highlight the issue, then for sure they will go down the same route as you. And how, as parents, or what advice you would give to parents listening who may want to broach a topic, how do you do it? So that, one, you don't sound too preachy, because there's that, I don't want to listen to the elders and them because they sound heavy.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break that barrier so that, especially in today's world where young people seem to be going all over the place, to guide them to being better citizens of TNT?
I think it's how you approach them.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time we go as parents, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really that. It's not also having friend. You don't want them to be a friend. But it's that in between that you find the time to sit and say, you know, what's happening? How are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You get to have a sense of where they're at and listen to what is being said. Many times we don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
We are already thinking of what is the next step or what we have to say.
What is the response?
And how I'm going to respond to them. But sitting and actually listening to what is coming out allows you now to be able to impart the knowledge and to delve deeper into the area that they are feeling, what is happening to them, and to be able to incorporate how they should work on it,
mm-hmm.
and how they should approach it, and how they should be a little more calmer in dealing with things, because the young people today they're very antsy.
Yeah.
They're very quick.
They're very charged.
I call it knee-jerk effect.
Yeah.
You know, how do you get them to stay very calm? And I think it's your approach. When you become calm, they mimic you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are able to communicate and share, but you ask them how they're feeling, it's all about them. Once you take the focus off of them, then they'll say, well, mommy, come again. But it's not that. It's focusing on them and allowing them to express themselves. We also have this taboo where children are rude.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to understand the difference of being outspoken and being rude. Many of them are very vocal.
Mm-hmm.
And long ago, parents would say, well, you're talking to me like that. It's not the feeling that they have inside, it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being expressed very vocal. And many a times we don't, as parents, don't know how to deal with it.
The thing is, I would prefer you be vocal rather than keep it inside and then go to the wrong company.
Correct.
And give whatever information, however you're feeling, and then you are manipulated because
right.
you're looking for comfort. You know, there's that danger as well.
Yeah, I always tell my clients, the knowledge and skills should come from you.
Mm-hmm.
Children should not have to go outside to get any information.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how you approach it. Many a times as parents, we're so busy.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't have the time. We don't want to make the time because if I sit down here to have this conversation with you, I may not be able to do something or some report or something that I have to do that my boss wants.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to remember there's work-life balance. And that's why I say there's so much discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Because we tend to want to be afraid that we may lose our job, and then we may not be able, we might get a bad appraisal, and then we may not be able to give our children what we need, mm-hmm. or what they need, sorry. But at the end of the day, we have to learn to balance it, to be able to have them grounded,
mm-hmm.
to be able to focus on other things that will benefit them in the long run. But if you sidetrack and they come to you, I can't talk to you right now. They're going outside.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to talk to a friend.
And
you
that
know,
may
I
be
go
the crucial moment.
And that might be the crucial moment that they want your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I practiced in my time going through that change and that challenge was my second daughter, I recall, used to come to me, Mommy, I need to talk to you very, very quick. Quim. I said, hear this. And I'm now putting my handbag down,
mm-hmm.
now walking the door, taking off my jacket. And I would say to her, Rach, give Mommy 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just take a quick shower and make my cup of tea, and you have all my attention.
Afterwards, yeah.
And you know, she will sit there and wait on that 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how I did it, to let them know that I'm giving you my undivided attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will come to you in 5 minutes. And she say, Mommy, time is up. I'm coming. And I will sit in the living room with her and go through the whole long period with her accordingly. So that's one of the things that we need to practice as well, which a lot of parents are not really doing today.
And this is the question that I have for you based on that. Is it that we are not aware of what priorities really are or what should be priorities?
I think we have lost that awareness. And that's why just yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine and I said, we need to go back to those days of knowing what are priorities, especially from the family's perspective, because you're seeing all the criminal activities that are taking place on younger and younger children,
mm-hmm.
and our girls are getting involved. And you ask yourself, what's happening in the home?
Mm-hmm.
There are no conversations taking place, obviously, for this kind of violence to be happening.
The ferocity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you have to go back to that principle of finding out what is underlying, how they feel. We need to know how they feel, not mm-hmm. because they're young. They're individuals, they're human beings. We need to know how they're feeling to know how to help them
mm-hmm.
in the best way forward.
We were getting some calls just now, 625-2257, 627-3223. If you have any questions for Miss Nicola Cockburn, we would be able to answer them. Quick look at the messages at 306-1065. You can send messages there as well. Yeah, phone calls coming in. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
No. Oh, hello.
Good morning.
Morning. All right. I don't want to pronounce her name wrongly. Miss what?
She is Miss Cockburn.
Cockburn.
Good morning.
That's for that for me. All right. You said some very salient things, yeah?
I'm not hearing.
One of the first things is like, we need little children know reality. We live in a real world. And whether it's a marriage, no matter what it is, I always have a philosophy where they got to prepare for what we call, I wouldn't say disappointment, but for the sake of discussion, I use that word for now. Where they got to be real. You're growing up, you're married, you have a partner, the possibility kind of a breakup. And I always have that tendency. No matter what they're going to do, whether it's a job, they could reach you work in the morning and the boss say, you happen now, we are not work again. They can hear the company. And these are things in life we always got to prepare for. And no, at the end of the day, you'll have 4 new tires in a car, and you'll have your spare tire. That's just how, that's just really, really being real about life. And you said a very important thing there. You need to be real with children. Sometimes, depend on the how you view the psychology of certain children. I know some of us, certain things have, you may have a divorce, and some children impacted, and some of them impacted at all. So you know what the parents have to decipher between that as to how you treated that particular child. Also, I think our parents and the whole young people need to be more psychologically and mentally prepared in terms of how fragile, you know, sometimes we compare our emotions, or we forgot how, as I said, something very important. We forget on teenager age. I was a really brilliant fella. But you know, when you get rebellious when you're children, you want to crucify them, but you forgot your rebellious stage. So you could tell them, and I say, no, son, I used to be rebellious. I tell my son the other day, I used to be rebellious, but in a wise way. My rebellion, when it pointed my rebellion,
you were a rebel with a cause, fast track.
Right. I redirected my energy to something. So whatever you pointed me to, whatever you tell me, I say, hey, what happened? No, this person said it makes sense, and I redirect my energy positively, not to go backwards, like to say, well, go again. I use my energy to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes.
And
yes.
As according to said, I remember that call. I have a valid reason why. And if you could point out to me the reason, otherwise, I prepared to listen to you and redirect myself. That's the kind of person I was. So, yes. Well programmed. You said a million words there in just a couple of words when I said we need to be real. It's a real life we're living.
That's
not
right.
Not a dolly house life.
Thanks so much, Fast Track. And the point that he brought up, understanding disappointment.
Yes.
And understanding delay of reward. You know, that is something that I believe young people don't understand.
No, they don't.
Especially with this YOLO. You only live once kind of life, and you want instant gratification. That's the words I'm looking for. To delay that gratification in effort to build.
Yes.
What are some of the tips you've given to your daughters in that respect, especially coming from the perspective of living a purposeful life? How do you deal with that?
Disappointment, you can't get away from disappointment. And one of the things I shared with them, and I used it even when they were doing their exams.
Mm.
I shared, you know, I remember my big daughter coming home and crying, and, you know, I could have done better and this and that. I said, listen, I'm still proud of you. Things happen. But what you need to do is sit and analyze where you went wrong,
mm-hmm.
and how you're going to move forward. What area, what topic that you need to work on. So I always had that, have this philosophy where I say to even my clients, I said, disappointment will come. But how are you handling the disappointment? Are you looking at it from a negative perspective, or are you looking at it from a positive perspective? Because things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be able to control what happened. And then again, disappointment, failure causes success later down the road. So if you put your mind you shift your mindset into a growing mindset, and you said, okay, this has happened to me. What have I learned from it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I do my life. I sit and I say, okay, this has happened. I will take the few minutes to go through the feelings, the crying if it has to come out,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, I go through it, because you have to go through your feelings. You have to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, okay, wipe your tears. What's the next step? How am I going to move forward? What have I learned from this particular experience that I will do differently next time? And it's the same method I have shared with my children, so that they know, sit and they analyze, and then with their husbands as well, they will sit and chat,
mm-hmm.
and move forward from there.
We've got another phone call. Hello, good morning.
Last statement you know made here. There. How we reiterate something like that when one's coming up, because, you know, you find and observe, we live in our culture, when something happens, people keep repeating or they keep banging you there. If I make a mistake, they keep banging you. Instead of saying, well, child, here happened, eh? This is the road you're following, I made this mistake. Let's sort of analyze what you're saying there, pull it apart, and see where we can avoid that mistake or that direction the next time I'm wrong. So the next time I'm wrong, when I'm sitting in a situation, face, or any other situation, you approach it like that. Because I can remember, and my son, when they're young and doing exams, primary school and so on, anything I get wrong, we bring them in to say, but I say, son, you happened. I didn't revise, I didn't understand it. One of the two things. I don't die is where you lead, but instead now, I see a parent walking out and banging the child. Oh, and crowning the child. But crowning the child for what? Because I realize either I can't do it, I'm capable, or I didn't do it sufficient reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the way political party, but we need to kind of, how we can get that into our young people in handling situations. Because as we are aware, we live in a society littlest thing. Everybody wants to fly in a raid and come off at the home.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to kind of like get this kind of culture into our young ones, into the school. That's our primary school now. Because by the time the children now are so advanced with this social media thing that a 5-year-old child now equal to almost a 10-year-old child in our day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have a blessed man. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Now, he brought up a good point too. The idea of bringing up that mistake over and over and over and over and over again. You know, I would think that was a little bit of a trauma.
Yes.
Creating trauma and a little bit of abuse. If it is that you dealt with the mistake, you understood what you did wrong, and you are making efforts to, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want, make up for that mistake or change the way.
Yes, change the way you're doing it.
How do you get out of that culture where they hang those things over your head? And I'm thinking in terms of education as well, because the way in which, let's say, SEA is structured, you know, unfortunately, children who are made to repeat, you know, put in that category of, well, you're done, son, you're this, son, you're that, and it's expected that they would fail, and you, you know, how do we get them out of that mindset? And after that, describe what a growth mindset is all about.
Okay, so it really takes a lot of work with the SEA. I remember it even from in my days being very challenging, where parents were on your back because you had to pass for either first choice or second choice and all this, you know. But we have so much technology, so many lessons and ways of doing things now that it's I don't see the need for us to go down that road, because at the end of the day, our children do what they are capable of doing at that point in time. And some of them go through fear.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that the parents are instilling fear in these children at that point in time?
I think it's unconsciously instilling that fear to
it. It is.
Because that pressure of the rest of your life depends on this.
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to change the way we approach those kind of topics, the way we approach the children at that point in time in their life. Because I find from that foundation, it is very crucial to give them that freedom to be able to work with what they have, and to be able to know if it is that I did not do well in an exam or whatever, to be able to analyze it. And we don't go through analyzing through primary school and those kind of things in those kind of a ways. It's more about analyzing maths and doing your comprehension and being visionary and all these things, which is good. But being able to cope with the disappointment, it's not really being shared in the primary school to that extent. And I think it's needed.
Yeah, and also amongst being adults as well, so you could go into secondary school, university, because disappointment is going to be part of life.
That's right.
And how you cope with it.
How you cope with it at that point in time will show how much you have grown and how much you are able to work things out.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything you have to work out. You have to work out how you're going to pay your bills. You're going to work out.
Yeah, the bill's not going to stop.
The bill's not going to stop.
Nope.
You have to work out how you're going to go through education. You're going to finish university. Everything. So you have to still be able to analyze and work in the best direction that will suit you at the long run, what you want at the end of the day. And from a growth mindset, when I say growth mindset, we are stuck in a way in which we operate from parents, from the neighbors who used to take care of us when our parents weren't there. We had this mindset of how things should be. But with a growth mindset, you are able now to look at what was and where you want to be and how you're going to change your mindset, shift the mind from thinking. So if you're only thinking negative, what are the positive things that I'm going to say to myself? Am I going to use affirmations every day? I look in the mirror and I said, I am worthy. I am strong. I can. I will. Those are the shifts that encourage you to shift your mindset to where you want it to be, so that there is growth. And you're not stuck in where the taboo way of life, where everything that happens and you go down into a negative way. One of the other things is, as soon as a negative thought comes into your mind, you shift it immediately into a positive affirmation mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. thought. I call it flipping the switch.
Kiki Palmer, a popular influencer in America, says she's great at the reframe. So that's how she puts it.
Yes.
Or she says, how to put it? You're not... Sorry, we wouldn't have you in this movie. She says, well, okay, your movie is not going to be as good as it could be correct. If I wasn't involved yes. in it. So I like the way she put it. You know, it might sound a little delusional, but it all depends on how you see yourself.
That's correct.
And that way you motivate yourself to do better next time. You know, yes. what are the things that you need to improve on to get that part or get the job or get into the school and those different points.
And also you look at self-esteem because mm-hmm. a lot of young women, even men, their self-esteem is very low.
Yeah.
And they become very defensive. And being defensive, now they're not able to work on themselves, even as they become teenagers and move into adult life. And it's about how do I shift that, you know, to develop, to be more confident that nobody around me can say, I cannot do this, and it affects me to that extent where I'm unable to focus and do what I want to do in life and accomplish my goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's all about shifting the way things happen. And I remember also Tyler Perry making a statement that the higher you climb, there are a lot of people you leave behind. Some of us don't want to give up our friends because we are still believing that everything they're saying to us
is true.
And not realizing that some of these friends either jealous you and don't want to see you grow. So as you climb the ladder and you change your perspective and you change your mindset, that growth mindset allows you now to see who you're leaving behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where and how far you can go.
And how far you've come as well. Huh?
And how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't have gratitude. Gratitude is a must.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my mottos. Because if you are not grateful for what you have, where you've become, and what you've become, and what you're doing with your life, then how can you move forward?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're only talking about, oh God, if this and no this, and then and you're negatively impacting your vision, your feeling, you're blocking yourself. Because you're not seeing nothing positive.
Yeah.
You know,
and speech, internal speech as well is internal very speech. Important.
Internal speech is important. That's where the affirmation comes in.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, let's talk about those affirmations.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Welcome back, TNT. So we're talking about affirmations. And how important it is to have those affirmations within your life to, one, it will set you apart. And how you deal with that separation, because it is life-changing, not
yes.
so?
Yes.
Yeah. So what type of affirmations do you have in your book?
Well, I have a few affirmations that I speak to, like, you'll dream bigger. Continue to dream bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You'll improve your skill sets or work on your skill sets. I am more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
I am able, I'm capable. I exist because there's a purpose. You know, things like that you say to yourself. And mostly for me, I look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's somebody in the mirror looking back at me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing and I'm saying to that person, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And you would not believe that shift. Even if, you know, it may sound silly, but hear this. You give the person in the mirror a high five.
Yeah.
High five. And you're smiling back. It sounds silly.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, really, and you do that with your friends?
Yeah, high five. Yeah.
You're doing well. Oh, my gosh. You know, that was good. Even with my granddaughter, I do. She does something. I said, oh, my God, give granny a high five.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're happy, you're giving them that encouragement. So why not give myself? So looking in the mirror and you give yourself a little high five, it may sound silly to some people, but try it. You won't believe, you won't believe how much that works, sorry. And affirming yourself. So that time in the morning, you're there in front of the mirror, you say, I am worthy, I'm able, I'm capable. I'm not going to let anything fluster me for the day. I am going to be very calm. I'm going to use my gift to assist or to help anyone that comes in my space. Mm-hmm. And you start saying affirmations like that every day. It don't have to be many. Just a few, like about 5 or 6 that you repeat every day. And then it becomes a habit because now it's ingrained in your system that's how you're going to operate. And it takes you through that day.
Yeah. And then another part that I don't know if you discuss within your book as well, the idea of grief. How do you handle grief, especially when it comes from, as you say, separating? As you move along this life journey, you're obviously going to separate from people who you thought would have been there forever. How do you deal with that aspect so that you, as I said before, don't get too deep into the negative thoughts and the negative patterns that would hold you back? Could you give a little advice on that?
I didn't go actually in depth in grief in my book because that's another book by itself.
Okay.
Right. And I'm also writing another on the man within because I work with men as well. But grief is something that everybody has a different time frame to get over grief. There are different stages of grief. I know of a young lady who is still in the first stage of grief, is just trying to understand why is it happening. Some of them, they are so depressed that they don't want to believe in God anymore on these things, you know. But it is all about being able, and that's why we go into growth mindset, because yes, you may want to go for therapy, or you may not want to go for therapy or sessions to help you through the process. But there is a way in which the therapy sessions will help you through that grieving process, to help you to get through the stages quicker than you do it on your own. Yeah? So I always advise people going through grief, because grief has so many layers of depression, and then you can end up being suicidal. So many things can happen that you need to have that know-it-all, that I need help.
And that you wouldn't take it out on people who are wrong.
And you're not
going
to be taking it
out.
And
spoil their good vibes.
But it happens.
Yeah, it happens.
Because in initial stages, you're very angry. So you need to work on your anger management. How am I going to control this aspect of it, you know, while I'm grieving? Because there were days that I would have been angry with my daughters. I'm not going to say no, I'm not perfect.
Yeah, we're all human.
Right? And I had to check myself and say, oh my God, I did this, and apologize. We sometimes don't realize that apologizing gives comfort, you know. And I would go to them and I would say, I'm so sorry I shouted at you this morning. Mommy was just going through a little something. And I'm breaking it down to their level. You know, you don't have to go in details. What daddy do on this? No, you're just breaking it down very simple. I'm so sorry that I took it out on you this morning. Forgive me. And you move on from there. You know, but we are so caught up that we're so angry and what we will do and what we wouldn't do, that we don't realize that we really need to have, especially if you can't work on it for yourself. I was blessed, and I must say lucky, that I was able to work on myself. I did not have counseling sessions until my second daughter started rebelling. And it was just a few counseling sessions, because at that age she didn't want to go. So I had to find that time to work on me and to be very critical. Sometimes we are not critical with ourselves.
And honest.
Yeah. That was the hardest part for me, boy. Being critical of me and what I would have done wrong, and seeing it to myself or writing it down, journaling. Oh my God, that was the hardest part. But you know what? It allowed me to see the areas that I had to work on. And I said, okay, Lord, I did it. All right, I'm sorry. I could have done this differently. Let me work on what I've written down here and see how best I can change that. And for me, I must say, thank God that I was able to work on me within a year and a half. I was back and bouncing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, there are flashbacks. People can't deal with that because the flashback comes back so real, like mm-hmm. if it was yesterday. But it's for us to, as I had shared in the earlier session, go through it, feel it. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that flashback came. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Are we able to analyze it? And that's what, you know, you have to sit down and analyze. Don't yeah. sit and wait for nobody to do
but
it.
But what we're describing is an entire healing process as
of
well.
Of course.
Eh? Yeah.
It's a healing process.
And therefore, you get to your purpose for life,
purpose
as it describes in your book.
Living your purpose for life.
Yeah.
What have I been, what I was ordained to do?
Mm-hmm.
What's my gift? And we see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see from early o'clock, I remember people coming to me to talk about all different kinds of things. And I say, oh, gosh, boy. You know, and at that point in time, I'm not so deep into my sessions and counseling as I am now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm saying, wow, look what's happening with these people. How can I help them?
Mm-hmm.
But that was from an early age. And then sitting and analyzing and finding that quiet time, I realized that was my gift.
Yeah.
And I took it from there. So you would know, but you need to sit quietly to mm-hmm. know that is exactly what your purpose is
mm-hmm.
and how to move forward.
Extract the noise, be with yourself, and
yes,
write.
And write.
Three main points.
That's correct.
I want to thank you so much for coming in today and, you know, talking about your book. I think we've learned a lot today.
Yes, we have.
Yeah?
Yes.
And the expression of living a purposeful life means a whole lot more for individuals listening today. How can they get a copy of your book?
Sure.
And also, if it is that you're giving sessions as well, because you mentioned your podcast yeah. and assisting others, and they want to get in contact with you, what is the
sure.
best way to contact you?
So I have my email address, which is woman to woman services, woman with W-O dot mm-hmm. capital M-E-N, right? So it's for women and men. Services at gmail.com. I'm also on Instagram at Michelle Nicola 2. I'm on Facebook, Woman to Woman. And I also have Linktree Michelle Nicola, which would allow you to set up a consultation with me. I give a free 30-minute consultation
mm-hmm.
for the first session so that I'm able to assess you and know how I can support you. And if I'm unable to support you, I am also capable to redirect you as well. Yes,
mm-hmm.
and I have a contact number for anyone who wants to WhatsApp me at 736-5496.
Mm-hmm. Repeat yeah. it one more time, 736.
736-5496.
And for anyone who wants that information, I have it here, so you can always send a message to 306-1065, and I will
and my
pass
book
it on.
Is on Amazon.
Yeah?
Yes.
On
I have
any...
a few local copies at this time, not in the bookshops as yet,
okay.
but I'm working on that.
All right. So yep. thank you so much once again.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.